Hi, I'm Kevin DeCristofano.
I'm Sean Flanagan.
And we're the Ninja Turtle Nerds, your weekly podcast. We cover the Ninja Turtle comics one sewer safari issue at a time. I don't know, I guess that is a holdover from last issue.
I was going to say, you're getting a lot of mileage out of that, huh?
Yeah. Actually, what it was I forgot to write an intro title thing for this, so I just used the last issue thing. How you been, Sean?
I've been good. So Pokemon, like, I feel like every other month they've got a new game. Like, I guess it's the Poco Renaissance.
I'm not really following it. I know they have one on the Switch. Aren't all the others just, like, tournament games? And like, they're not, like, mainline games, right?
No, I think they're mostly mainline games. I know some of them are remakes, but I can't think of...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I can't think of a time they've released this many sequentially like this.
I definitely think I'm getting the one in November. It's going to be about the time I'm finishing Final Fantasy XII. I want something that's like the polar opposite of that game, and Pokemon definitely is. And I haven't played a Pokemon game since, you know, me and our friend Nick played the first gen like crazy. He and I got blue, he got red, and we traded back and forth, and we each got all 151. Yes, we even got Mew. More on that in a second. So, another thing we did, though, that I thought was nice was, on his copy, because he got it after me, I had him, he replayed, I think you have to play all the way to the first gym before you can trade. And we did that part of the game six times, or however many times it took, so that each of us could have all three starter Pokemon. So that was nice. And, yeah, we got Mew because back in the early days of the internet, I can't believe I never see this shared more often. There were so many rumors on how to glitch the game out and get Mew. And I remember correctly, I've seen so many places say it's impossible to get Mew in the game, and yeah, it's impossible without, you know, using a glitch, but there is a way to with a glitch, and I forget all the exact parameters for it, and I might be mixing this up with the missing no, or it might be the same as the missing no, and sometimes you get Mew and sometimes you get the missing no, but anyway, you would have to go to the safari zone, and then you would have to fly to one of the towns and surf up and down the coast where you were half on land and half in the water. And somehow this triggered the missing no glitch. But if you did it enough times, like randomly in that set of wherever it holds those values for the Pokemon, one of them is Mew. And I think if I remember correctly, that's how I got Mew. All I know is it wasn't like a glitched version, like the Pokedex data worked. Yep. So it was as if you got it the way Nintendo intended to give it to you, which they would give them out at like competitions and stuff. So you unlocked it in your game the way they would have given it to you.
Such a simpler time.
Yeah. But enough about the pocket monsters. Let's talk about the teenage monster Ninja Turtles, as they're called in an alternate universe. Image Comics, issue 18, untitled. Oh, how many times do I have to do this again? It's untitled. They're all the same credits. It was the same team for the whole run, pretty much. Minor changes here and there. Cover artist Frank Fosco. Story Gary Carlson. Pencils Frank Fosco. Inks Mark Hickey. Lettering Pat Brusso. And colors by Adam Gazowski on the IDW version. So, those are the names for the rest of it.
Remember them next time.
The three at the end, they might not be, but the cover date is October 1998. Spooky. Ooh. So let's go take a look back at October of 98. This month in entertainment. Movies from October of 98. You got your Night at the Roxbury. You got your Ants. You got your Bride of Chucky. You got your Holy Man with Eddie Murphy.
Oh, I vaguely remember that movie.
And if you want a bummer of a movie, you've got your American History X. So those are the movies that came out.
Bride of Chucky, so good.
Ants was the number one movie at the box office. Made $90 million. Would go on to make $171 million.
And no one remembers it.
Because just like Armageddon and Deep Impact, this was another situation where two similar movies came out. But this one has an interesting story that I'm hazy on the details of, but so Google this for the correct information. But from what I remember reading is that A Bug's Life was in development at Pixar. And I guess somebody had a beef with Pixar and caught wind of the movie they were making and purposefully got Ants made and got it released first to, like, spite Pixar. So, like, they put out the similar movie before they could put A Bug's Life out.
And truly, they took them down.
Let's find out what we were listening to on the radio back then. Billboard number one songs, October 3rd and October 10th. Those weeks, it was The First Night by Monica. Every female singer wanted to go by just one name at that time. You remember a few episodes ago, there was a Janet Jackson song, and I noticed it was credited as just Janet.
Yep.
Everyone wanted to be Cher or Madonna. Like, think about it. You get, soon after this, we're going to start getting Britney and Christina, who that's what they go by now, not at first, but they do now. You got Shakira, you got Beyonce, you got Pink, you got Rihanna, you got Aaliyah, you got Jewel, Brandy, Dido, JoJo, and of course Monica with The First Night. October 17th, the number one song was One Week by Bare Naked Ladies. I always thought that was one of the most brilliant band names of all time. Because you'd put on the flyer, what's going to be at the show? Oh, what's going to be at the show? This band, Bare Naked Ladies, this band. Oh, I want to go see the Bare Naked Ladies. Thinking, I don't know. You know what I'm saying. Yep, it's band. So, October 21st to the 31st, it's the return of The First Night by Monica. So she was the number one song, then 1 week. Yes, man. And then The First Night comes back.
So we had a first night for 2 weeks, then a week, and then a first night. Okay.
Exactly. You got it. You got to get a better set of clubs. You mind the Kawatani nubs? They're always flying off the backswing. The cover of Nintendo Power was Turok 2 Seeds of Evil, which is a game I have played 100 billion times and have never played it start to finish. I always play, I owned it at, well, not at launch. I don't know when it came out, but I remember I got it for Christmas 1 year. And every time I play Turok Seeds of Evil, I play the first level, then I put the cheat codes in for all the guns and all and infinite ammo. I go like halfway through the second level, and then I skip to the last level, and I beat it. Like, there's just something about it where, I don't know, someday I have to force myself to play it. And it's another game, I swear, I didn't think of this at first. It is on my Switch. I have Turok 2 and Turok on my Switch.
Oh, yeah, they did re-release those.
Yeah, they're not, like, touched up and... No, actually, I think they are touched up a little bit, but... Yeah, it's not on the Nintendo 64 eShop thing. It's separate. You have to pay for them. And then it also says in-depth review, WCW NWO Revenge. It says Space Station Silicon Valley is in there. NASCAR 99. That.
Space Station Silicon Valley is crazy.
It's one of those games that I haven't played but gets great reviews and everyone talks about it as a classic Nintendo 64 title. I just haven't gotten around to it yet. And it also says Zelda Explored. And I actually looked up the scans of this because, you know, I'm obsessed with Zelda. And it's exactly what you'd expect. It was like all the preview of Ocarina of Time before, like, Ocarina of Time's coming out soon, right? This is October 98. Yeah, it came out in December. Yeah. So it's about to come out.
So it's... they restarted that game, right? Halfway.
I don't know if they ever restarted it. It just was redeveloped. Like, it was originally going to be for the 64 disk drive.
Okay.
And they definitely, like, scaled the project back after the disk drive failure. But a lot of the ideas that, like, you can read in these old articles of what they wanted Ocarina of Time to be didn't end up getting used until Breath of the Wild. Like, there's some of the, like, they wanted Ocarina of Time to be as open a world as Breath of the Wild is, basically. And you can go back and read all these old interviews and articles when the game was in development, where they're talking about, like, oh, this is what it's going to be like. And you read it and you're like, they didn't get to do that forever. They were very ambitious. TV events. October 2nd, Wishbone ends after 2 seasons and 51 episodes.
I feel like that was on forever.
Nope, it was on for 2 seasons and 50 episodes. Hold on, my computer fan is going nuts. It's overheating. There we go. That should help. October 7th, Charm premieres on WB. October 20th, The FBI Files premieres on Discovery Channel.
Okay.
And those were all the TV events I could find. October 3rd, Saturday Night Live was hosted by Kelsey Grammer with musical guest Sheryl Crow.
It's a then bit October 90s. 7th,
oh, yeah. I think Kelsey Grammer was on because I remember reading in the TV events, but I didn't think it was important enough to put in there, but now I'm bringing it up anyway. they moved Frasier to Thursday nights because Seinfeld had ended. So they put Frasier in its spot. So that's probably what he was there for. October 17th, it was hosted by Lucy Lawless with musical guest Elliot Smith. And then October 24th, it was hosted by Ben Stiller with musical guest Alanis Morissette.
That song's about him.
No Eddie Murphy there to promote Holy Man, surprisingly.
Is it really not surprising?
I'm being sarcastic. That was when he was still mad at the show. Yeah. Look up the Eddie Murphy Saturday Night Live beef if you're curious.
So if you're looking to read this one, it's on Comixology. And you can get it printed in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Urban Legends Volume 2.
That's where I got it. Volume Dos. So let's go take a look at this cover here.
So the original cover is awesome, even though I don't 100% feel like it fits the issue, but I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's got a very X-Files vibe to it.
I kind of wish that happened in the issue.
So the cover is them in the cemetery and they're like hiding behind the headstones and there's like a hazmat team sweeping the area. I guess the radiation from the fan. Oh yeah. They're hauling away the Fantasticar up top here. Donatello's thing that he got from not Dimension X. Where did it come from? The Triceratons. And then there's like FBI guys and stuff like holding an interview with the bright flashlights and it's very X-Files. It's a cool cover. But as I alluded to on last week's show, the alternate cover, the reprint cover, one of the worst covers.
I thought you were kidding, but no, it's terrible.
It's the dialogue. And another thing I said last week, I'm very picky about text on comic book covers, and it's just like very much spelling out what happens at a part in the comic book, which repeating ourselves again, when they reprinted the book, a lot of these covers are just like a summary of what happens at one point in the comic, which sounds like a good idea. Like, hey, make the covers have something to do with the internal, but it just doesn't work for some reason. It's Leatherhead. And there's a shadowy finger pointing towards Leonardo saying the turtles are your enemy, and Leonardo saying, fight it, Leatherhead. And I don't know, I don't like it. No bueno. So when we go inside the issue and find out what this is all about, Leonardo is still in a big old battle with the Komodo, giant Komodo dragons from where we left off last issue. As Leo reaches the height of exhaustion from this battle, lasts for about 3 pages.
Well, first, some really good moments
for this, where one of the dragons is like biting his arm, and then it turns out it was the arm that had the sword, and the dragon, I guess, just inhaled the sword and stabbed itself, and it lets go. And then, right as Leonardo's at the height of his exhaustion, kind of like when Bane broke Batman's back, he starts losing the fight to the lead Komodo dragon here, and it grabs him by, like, the neck, and it bites Chomp with bloody letters. Chomp bites his hand off.
Because, you know, we haven't maimed a turtle in many issues.
I wrote the same idea in my notes. I said, I remember the first time I read this, I couldn't believe that they were mutilating another turtle, especially this fast. Like, I wonder if at this point they knew the series wasn't going to continue. Because I'm just like, oh, guys, maybe. You're not even 20 issues in yet, and 3 of the 4 turtles have life-altering injuries.
But Mikey's a writer.
How did you
expect
this to go for 100 issues or so, you know? And if you've read the run, I understand. I know where this leads, so it's. But pretend you're reading along just like this. This is the reaction you would have. Like, really? 3 of the 4 turtles are life-altering injuries. And at this point, we're only 5 issues away from where the run stopped.
Right.
So as Michelangelo types away on his novel, clack, 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 Casey interrupts him and basically says he's worried about Leonardo. He's too worried about Leonardo to go to work. So Michelangelo says,
how
look,
did
man,
that call go? Yeah, I'm not coming in today. Oh, what's going on? I'm worried about my turtle. Oh, okay.
That's about what Michelangelo's saying to him. He's trying to talk sense into Casey. He's like, April's going to be really angry because she was just talking about how money is tight right now. You kind of need to go to work to make money. So how about you, you know, don't worry about that. But Casey is like, it's going to be fine. Maybe we can claim the reward money for that alligator. And Michelangelo is like, all right, I'll come along with you for that. And he agrees to go with Casey Jones, and they head into the sewer, where they immediately find a corpse of one of the old hunters, the people who are trying to hunt the alligators in the sewer. Cut to Leonardo. He wakes up with his arm all bandaged. King Komodo is explaining that he isn't Lord Komodo, which is who you would think it was after reading these issues. He's his half-brother. So apparently there was this process where he was a mutagen experiment that the lead Konuich, Pimiko, who we haven't heard about in a while, she captured him and tortured him and then brought him to New York City to find the turtles. So Pimiko's back.
I like through this entire run, there are moments like this where the first panel on the page is meanwhile, and it's Leo like drooling on the ground, and rather than have sound effects, he says sound effects. They've consistently done this through this run, which I think is hilarious. I always say mumble.
Yeah. No, yeah, they do that a lot, or like they'll do like chuckle, or you know, the little things like that.
Dramatic gasp.
They've had gasp, cough, wheeze, things like that in the dialogue balloons. Back to what I was saying a second ago, though, I just realized some people might not remember who Pimiko is. In this run, Pimiko, who is like the head ninja of one section of the Foot Clan, she's got her own ninjas. I don't think they're specifically Foot Clan. But she's Shredder's daughter. Shredder's still dead, but his daughter. So in this universe, it's not Karai. It's Pimiko. Anyway, Leo asks why the King Komodo has involved Leatherhead in this whole thing. And he basically goes on to say that Leatherhead could have warned the turtles that they were in the sewer. And Pimiko, who's in charge of this whole thing, wants to blame Leatherhead for the killings and collect the reward being offered. So last week, that's how I knew, like, they weren't the ones who printed this fake story, because they can't collect the reward themselves if they're the ones offering it. So part of Pimiko's plan is to get the reward for Leatherhead on top of taking Leatherhead out so he doesn't warn the turtles.
I love how we've had it where they kind of half-assed resolve Splinter Bat. But this reward thing, they're doing pretty consistent and making sure you're aware of it. Keep bringing it up.
Yeah. So basically, what's being revealed here is these Komodo dragons are the ones that killed the people in the sewer. We don't know why that happened, but we can assume they were just in the wrong place at the wrong time. And there was... No. They just said they did it on... So they killed these people in the sewer on purpose so that a reward would be put out. And now they're going to go get Leatherhead and claim that reward. So, sneaky. Anyway, Leonardo, he leaps up to his feet and he uses his katanas to cut Leatherhead's bindings. And Leatherhead he's standing there and he thanks Leo for the help. And then they're both ready to attack King Komodo. But, oddly, Leatherhead finds himself kind of unable to go ahead with the attack. Hold on, I'm just noticing these notes are not the up-to-date notes. I had a better summary written. Just a second, I'll cut all this out. All right. So right away we see that something fishy is going on where Leatherhead can't quite bring himself to attack the lizard guy. His body will not obey his mind. He stands there, he's still frozen. And Komodo tells them that he has this ability to dominate the minds of his primitive brothers, unquote. So basically, we have a lizard version of the Rat King now. We have a character that controls lizard brains. But it's also worth noting that the Rat King is still barely a thing in TMNT continuity. He's had a handful of appearances, but this isn't as redundant as it seems to have a character that controls lizard brains and a character that controls rat brains, because... You know, later on, Rat King would be really cemented into the franchise, but he's not that big a character yet. So, not anything you should knock this for.
I mean, I give Komodo credit that he's able to do this consistently, where Rat King, it took a lot of convincing for the rats to finally be like, fine.
So, King Komodo turns Leatherhead against Leo. Leo coaches Leatherhead to fight it, and he can't fight it. He's under the control, and he attacks Leo. He knocks them both into the sewer water. Then on the next page, the first narration text says that it says somewhere above ground.
A rooftop, if you can't figure that out.
but the text just says somewhere above ground. Really zeroed in on them, as Crow T Robot would say. Somewhere above ground. On the rooftops, Raphael, he's leading some Foot Clan peoples on an exercise, and then it says beep 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 beep, his little alarm's going off, and he says it's the mausoleum alarm that's going off. You remember last issue, the rabbits were setting off the alarm at the proximity alarm at the mausoleum, trespassers near the turtle base. And the Foot Clan people are like, should you answer that signal? And Raphael takes the alarm and crushes it in his hands, stating that his brother's false alarms are no longer his problem. It's a little extreme.
Am I crazy?
He might want to use that again someday.
That's true. Am I crazy? Or
I guess cell phones weren't like a major thing in society yet. So they didn't think to just hit the ignore button.
Did they draw Raph with one arm that second panel? Like, am I seeing things? Because it looks like he's completely missing his left arm.
I see what you're saying. I think it's supposed to be behind him, like he's walking, but the feet aren't walking. It's like the top part of his body is in
motion.
I'm storming off angry pose.
And but his the feet,
feet
haven't
are
got
definitely
there.
Firmly planted. Just forgot to draw an arm. It's okay. So back in the sewers. Oh, sorry. So on the next page, as Raphael runs into the night with his crew, we see that he's being followed by two elite foot guards and a shadowy figure. Mystery box for later on. J.J. Abrams style. Back in the sewers, Casey and Mikey find the message in blood that Komodo drew last issue. The poorly written one. You remember he ran out of blood? I waiting turtles. So they find that, and then they quickly find him standing over Leonardo and Leatherhead, who are fighting in the sewer water. And anytime these turtles are in the sewer water with a recent injury, because they're always got like ninja stars in them, or like this time he's got his hand bitten off, I'm always like, man, that's going to get infected. It's sewer water. It's terrible for that.
But you get your underwater turtles you love so much, and
I do love an underwater turtle.
I like the moment where Leo takes his
scabbards? Is that what they're called?
Katana scabbards and shoves it in Leatherhead's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's not something that you'd see too often. But yeah, it's
He's being very resourceful here because eventually what he does is he chokes him with his bandana, the one that goes over his eyes. And eventually he's able to choke Leatherhead with the bandana until he passes out, and then he carries him up to the surface.
And then
and
this
once
this
he does that, it's out of the frying
moment.
Pan into the fryer. What's
For
that?
For how silly Image has been, when they come back to the surface might be the silliest thing that has happened so far in this run.
Yeah, the way this Komodo dragon looks, so they get out of they surface, and the Komodo, King Komodo, is pointing a rifle at their head, but he just looks so silly, this giant lizard with a rifle. It kind of looks like if in Jurassic Park they gave the raptors, like, like hunting rifles.
Yeah.
It just doesn't, it looks a little out of place is all. So,
great sound effect there, too, when Casey whacks him in the head. I like the whack.
So yeah, but before anything can happen, Mikey and Casey attack him from behind with the thwack, knocking him into the infection-inducing waters. And meanwhile, we cut away from this in the part of the story I totally forgot about. Donatello's getting back from his trip to Pittsburgh, and he lands the air car in the cemetery's hideout. There must be like a Tales of the TMNT or like a side story or something that shows his adventure in Philadelphia. I know I said Pittsburgh a second ago. It's Philadelphia. His adventure in Philadelphia.
It's Pittsburgh.
It's Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I mean, what would that Tales be? Donnie gets a beer? Like, I don't know.
Remember when he was on his own and he was with the Image people and stuff?
Yeah, Yeah, okay.
I don't know what it would be. I'm just saying that the Ninja Turtle continuity, sometimes it's more spread out on more publications than like even like the Star Wars continuity is. Like, it's all over the place. You got like, you'll find out there was a short story in a back issue of some comic called like Turtle Tales that only, it was a magazine, you know, or Turtle Tales is actually not that. But, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you'll find out about these random things that had, like, three issues, and there's a in-continuity story that was done as a backup or something. Mirage and Image continuity, by extension, is all over the place. So, anyway, right away when Donatello steps out of the Fantasticar after his trip to Pittsburgh, Philadelphia... right away when he steps out of the Fantasticar, the men in black, they swarm in on him. They got red lasers all pointed at his chest, like the end of Wanda, or that middle episode of WandaVision. And they got guns all pointed at him, and they ask, "Where exactly are you from, alien?"
I find it fitting that of the four of them, he's probably the worst one to be in the situation, just because how quickly the armor probably would react.
Yeah, he's basically Venom. And this is basically what happened in the Venom movie.
And I know we're getting to the end, but what is it about the last few issues that just had these awkward ends?
Maybe they knew, like, I think we're starting to notice, like, the wheels are kind of falling off here. The art isn't suffering, like we brought up for Volume 2. The art is still consistent. And it's just, like, something about the storytelling is getting a little more rushed. And I wonder if they knew, because there's only 5 more issues that are going to be printed. And it's going to end mid-story. And it took until IDW picked up the story, like, years and years later for them to conclude it. So, yeah, it feels like sales are probably down. I know Volume 4, the sales were even worse because I guess people weren't reading Turtles comics in the early 2000s. But, yeah, it's just one of those things where you're right. The endings are getting more abrupt. So Michelangelo, he states that he couldn't find, he's coming out of the sewer water, and he says he couldn't find any sign of King Komodo. And Leonardo points that probably means he's not dead, and they'll have to watch their backs from now on, because, you know, no body, no dead.
But Shredder was dead.
They also, I was thinking the same thing. And Casey starts dragging all the dead Komodo bodies over, like he's C-3PO throwing the Jawas on the fire.
That's why C-3PO did that, for reward money.
Yeah. And they start talking about the reward, and Casey, he's dragging away a couple of the Komodos. First he puts them in a pile, then he drags them away, which is, you know, they just needed him to have business in the background, I guess. And he says he'll split the reward money with the turtles if they'll help him carry the bodies. And Leonardo starts joking with him. He's like, "I'm the one who killed them. It should be 75-25. Casey Jones like, "All right, I'll take 75. Yuck, yuck, yuck. Wah, wah. Little vaudeville bit. And Michelangelo helps them carry the bodies to the street as Leonardo and Casey continue to argue. The end.
I think the funny thing on this page is when Leo's smacking Leatherhead on the back to help him cough, and all the sound effects look like it's just graffiti written on the wall, not that it's coming out of Leatherhead. So,
yeah, I really like that bit too, that when you cut back to him, he's like, a lot of times in these situations when you cut back to the people, they're not acting like they just almost drown.
Yeah,
and they kind of continue that here, so that's nice,
which is funny because they're aquatic creatures, so it's just funny to see it. But
this is a very easy issue if I had to summarize it too, just like last week. It's like, what really happened here is Casey and Mikey went to go look for Leonardo because he hasn't come back yet. They find him fighting Leatherhead underwater from last issue. They find the King Komodo dragon guy and whack him in the back of the head. Leo gets control over Leatherhead. Meanwhile, Raphael ignores a beep, beep, beep. He's being stalked by Elite Foot. And Donatello's got people pointing guns at him. That's everything in this issue.
So I'd give this the same rating. It's still a 4 because it's entertaining and it keeps moving even though you're starting to see the cracks.
I took it down a little bit. I know I said last issue that anything with Leatherhead gets a 4, but there's just something about it that felt 3.8 was more of the rating I wanted to give. I don't know. It very much feels like the middle part of a story. So
it's almost like they've reached the point where they realize that they'd spent too much time not knowing what they wanted to do with the astral plane till very recently, and like, hey, we mixed things up with Savage Dragon, and then they didn't really find a way to transition out of that. So just kind of like, hey, Komodo, that's the thing we started with. Bring that back.
Yep. We'll be full circle-y. So my name for the issue was because of Leatherhead being mind controlled and fighting Leonardo. My name for the issue is Mind Over Gator.
Oh, that's really good.
Instead of Mind Over Matter, see?
Mine was
word
just
plays.
King Komodo.
I love that. King Komodo, no. Oh, there's so many ways you can go with that.
You can't lock them in there. They're too smart.
Yeah. He looks so cute with his little rifle. Him's just a little guy. So that's basically the issue. And the image run, it's what, like 3/4 of the way done at this point?
Yep.
18 out of 26. I don't know what that works out to be percentage-wise, but...
gently spiraling to the end.
There's 8 issues left. So... stay tuned. Find out how Image can go. It's going to be really weird when we get to those last 3, because, like I said, they were so... like, fans waited so long for that conclusion to that story. It just ended on a cliffhanger. There's a Ghostbusters series that did the same thing, by the way. One of the... whoever... it was like some small comic book company that I never even remember the name of. They did the first Ghostbusters run, and that one ends on a to-be-continued also. But I actually had that issue when I was a kid. I can tell you what happened is it ends with the People Busters. You remember they were like
the
wacky version of the Ghostbusters. The People Busters escape, and they're like running down the sidewalk, and it says to be continued. And that's where that run ends.
So I give IDW a lot of credit for letting these guys finish this run, because that's not something that happens too often.
Yeah, and I kind of see where they're coming from, is they probably were like, look, we want to put this in a collected volume and get sales. Now that, like, we own all this now. We want to make money off of it. So we want to sell it, but it's kind of a hard sell to have volume 2 have no conclusion. So
you guys finish that up.
But also at the same time, I'm sure it wasn't cheap to have everybody come back and do 3 issues to finish it. So, although 3 issues is, if you're going to have people do a run on a comic book, that's shorter than they're normally going to do. It's usually either like a one shot or it's like 6 issues. So, I don't know. I'm rambling here at the end. So that's everything we had for this issue. Tune in next week to find out what the heck goes on with these here turtles and hear Leonardo whine about having his hand cut off and see if the turtles realize that Michelangelo's the only one that hasn't taken any damage yet. Spoiler alert, I don't think they do. I don't think if I remember, I don't think they comment on it at all. Like, hey, Mikey, close your eyes for a sec.
What's it like to have all your original appendages?
Come stand over by this lathe. Put this apple on your head. So, yeah. Gonna throw it over to future Kevin now. He's gonna tell us all about what's going on in the future. Hello, shellheads. There was a lot of buzz this week about the leaked figures for the Mutant Mayhem movie. And I gotta say, it's got me excited, but I'm gonna start saying some potential spoilers. So I guess stop the podcast now. There's only like 15 seconds left in the podcast anyway. But gotta say, if you don't want any spoilers, stop it now. I have to say, pause for people to stop. Gotta say, it looks like we were right with a lot of our predictions for what Mutant Mayhem will be, because these figures make it seem like it's going to draw heavily off the nostalgia for the 87 series. I mean, the Leatherhead figure looks like he's modeled somewhat after like the Cajun version of Leatherhead. You've got Bebop and Rocksteady in there, and we said they're definitely going to show up once we knew the movie was called Mutant Mayhem. I can't even talk. But yeah, the turtle designs are great. The Splinter figure looks like he could be an alternate version of something from the original toy line. So I love that they've got the weapon racks in there. It's all like, it all looks like this version of the turtles is going to be like, hey, we want to get new turtle fans, but we also want to do something for the fans of the original 87 cartoon series, because there's a lot of nostalgia out there for that right now. Like we've said on this podcast before, you know, look at, we got Shredder's Revenge came out. That was all geared around the 87 cartoon. Then you got Cowabunga Collection. Then not to mention all the NECA figures and stuff. They know that there's a big market for that particular version of the Turtles. So I'm glad they're, it seems like they're leaning in that direction. Now, I don't think this movie is going to be just the 87 cartoon as a movie, but I think a lot of it's going to be familiar and draw on our nostalgia. Like there's a Fly action figure that's probably going to be Baxter. But yeah, I'm really excited with these figures, and got to say, you heard it here on Ninja Turtle Nerds that we always predicted that they were going to go the safe road with this one and not give us, you know, Michael Bay Monster Turtles, or give us, even though I liked Rise, a lot of people didn't like the departure that was from the standard formula, or give us, I guess the 2012 cartoon was kind of safe, but the IDW comics, some people didn't like the reincarnation angle. I don't think they're going to go too crazy out of the box with this one. I think this is going to be standard Ninja Turtles for people who have been hungry for that for a while, and I can't wait. So that happened this week. Other than that, tune in next week. We're going to be talking some more Image Comics Turtles. And I mean, wow, we're almost close to the end of the Image Comics run. We're going to be on volume 4 before you know it. So yeah, we'll see you next week. Thank you for listening. Follow us on Twitter. Go look at our other podcast, Nintendo Therapy. That needs listeners right now. We really love doing that one too. So go check out Nintendo Therapy. And yeah, that's about it. See you next week.